Oh, Ethan, this year's really flown past, eh?
Okay, it's April, but yeah.
No, but like the last 12 months felt like only 9.
Okay.
Yeah, but come to think of it, 9 months really isn't that long. To some, it can feel like a maternity.
Actually took me a while. I was like, what are you talking about? Dusting off the rest of season one, getting back into season two of this podcast.
Last night I was thinking we're going to say, we're back, like back from where, back from the dead.
It feels like it, because it was like a year ago or something that we recorded. I don't know. It feels like a year ago that we recorded the previous season.
It's probably. But the big difference is we're in a professional studio today, not in the back room with a Mickey Mouse mic.
Yeah, we've leveled up as podcasters severely. Thank you to Ultimate Media for sponsoring or giving us a space to record here. Because, yeah, we're sitting here with Pro Tools is open. We've got 20,000 rands worth of microphones sitting in between us. It feels good.
We are scripted this time.
We are scripted.
There's no busking. We actually know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And, yeah, great series ahead. We might cover some of the things we've covered before, but, I mean, you can always learn something new when you look at these things again. And we've also spoken to some really interesting people.
Yeah, yeah. And asked them some of the same questions we asked in season one as well. So, yeah, there's definitely going to be some backtracking of things we've already spoken about. But ultimately, I think in this season, we've got some really, really interesting insights from the podcasters we interviewed.
And today, what are we doing today?
Genres and formats.
Genres and formats. Now, I just want to know, Ethan, what is the difference between the two? What is a genre and what is a format?
So the format is the physical structure of your podcast. How is it conveyed? Is it interview, documentary, all these different ways of actually producing and putting the show together? Whereas the genre is more about the topic that you cover. So, for example, a genre could be true crime. The format could be panel discussion, interview, documentary style. There's many different ways to, you know, produce it, but the genre is typically what it's about. And this also ties into Apple Podcasts and their platform. Whenever you're on your podcasting host, you have to choose your two genres, health and spirituality, or there's that long list.
Mm. Which is the most popular genre in podcasting?
So in my experience, especially from when I was doing podcast editing for all different kinds of podcasts. I was one of those lackeys that you would send a podcast to and they would edit it for you. We had entrepreneurship and wellness / spirituality being super, super high on the list. 80% of the podcasts I edited at that company were those kinds of podcasts. But I'll also say anecdotally, true crime seems to be
very
far
popular,
up there.
Eh?
Yeah. True crime podcasts are, in my mind, like one of the biggest genres for sure. So I'd say, yeah, definitely true crime, entrepreneurship, health and spirituality seem to be the biggest genres to me.
Okay. And then formats, from what I can see, the format that most people think of when they think of a podcast is an interview style.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people assume that that's what a podcast is. As in, a podcast is me sitting on Zoom recording a video of me interviewing somebody, which is a fraction of the actual reality of the podcasting world. But a lot of people we've spoken to is like, I want to start a podcast. Who am I interviewing? Like, those are the questions.
It seems to be the easy way into podcasting.
I definitely would say so. Because doing a podcast solely by yourself is a huge undertaking, scripting, and you have no one else to rely on. You know, perhaps getting a co-host on board isn't necessarily the easiest thing either, especially if you're the one with the concept. So a lot of people, I think, default to, I'm going to interview people as my podcast. And I think it's also got to do with maybe the goals of their podcast, perhaps. If you want to be meeting people, then it's a good thing. But yeah, it does seem to be people's default.
So what is the format that we're using here today?
It's actually interesting. We have a combination kind of format because of the way that this is produced. What we're recording right now is, I would say, perhaps a discussion, just a two-person discussion.
Or like co-hosted?
Co-hosted, for sure. Co-hosted. I almost want to say documentary style, but it's not.
No, it's not quite a documentary.
But it uses some of the same techniques that a documentary would, in that we've got clips that we play, interview snippets specifically, interspersed between a broader kind of quote-unquote narration.
But it's also interview style because we have interviews. We've interviewed quite a lot of very interesting people.
Yeah, but if I was to tell somebody that this is an interview podcast, in their mind, it's an hour of,
hi, how are you? I'm so-and-so. Welcome. And tell us a little bit about yourself and all of that sort of nonsense. I must say, I'm a little bit fed up, and I'm sure this is going to be controversial. I'm fed up with all these interviews because it takes so long to get to the point. I've got to listen to their whole backstory and like, yo, who are you anyway? You know, if you were some famous actor, maybe I'd listen to the whole thing because I might find you interesting. But you were just somebody. I'm not sure that I want to sit through a whole hour's worth of listening to you babbling on about how great your life has been and all your challenges. I don't know. What do you think?
So I think this comes down to interview technique and the concept of the show. I think too many people, including myself in the past, think a good interview is, okay, tell me a bit about yourself. What do you do? Tell me your life story. Whereas in my experience, all the most interesting interviews are ones that either have like a theme. So today we're going to talk about your first crush. And that's the interview. Even if I'm talking to Tom Cruise, I'm not going to ask him his life story.
Yeah, because everybody knows that, really.
Exactly. I'm not actually adding anything new. I'm not creating anything new. So I think where interviews are interesting is when you have a real clear theme to your interview and you're going to ask questions that nobody's ever asked before or that nobody's done in that style before. Or if you're just a genuinely good listener and interviewer / conversationalist, then I've heard incredible interviews. Like Rick Rubin, for example, famous music producer, has a show. And in his podcast, he has like the most in-depth, high-level discussions with these musicians that he's worked with. So it's not just like any random person. It's someone whose album he just produced. And then they sit down and unpack everything and go into such interesting detail that the conversation by itself is just so interesting. But I don't think most podcasters have developed that skill of being a great conversationalist or being a great interviewer, or they haven't niched down or narrowed down their podcast enough to make it an interesting interview. So ultimately, it just comes across as one long, boring ad for somebody that you're interviewing.
Talking about an ad and niching and all these technical terms you're talking about, remember, I've written a book about this. It's called Become a Podmaster, Everything You Need to Know to Master the Art of Podcasting, available on our website, bear.media, or on Takealot, or on Amazon, or wherever you buy books online. So Steve Ramona, he does interview-style podcasts, and he delves into the personal stories of people, but I think his accent is more on their journeys of overcoming challenges and turning them into success stories. So that's a very specific kind of focus, like you were saying.
Yeah, my name is Steve Ramona. I'm in Northern California. My podcast is Doing Business with a Servant's Heart.
Brilliant. So what exactly do you cover in your show?
Three things I mentioned is motivation, education, inspiration. Great stories, overcame obstacles, great comebacks from business people. And it could have been physical, mental, or something that happened to somebody else that affected their lives. And they were able to learn how to overcome them by serving. The other side of my show is learning to serve instead of sell. We're all in business for product and services. Our goal is, let's get to know somebody. Let's serve them. Let's bring them value. Let's give to them first and then ask for the sale later.
When you submit your podcast feed, you know, you have to figure out like what kind of categories you're tagged in. Like what did you kind of eventually figure out for yours?
You know, I just did business because it could be business marketing. It could be business lead generation. It could be business tech. I kind of fall in different categories. So I'm really a little more general than most. But it's really business. That's who I want to help. And then, of course, non-business people may listen and go, well, I love this lady. She was awesome. She started her own business and look what she's doing. So, but my real niche is probably business. If you want to say business strategy would be if you want to niche it down a little bit.
How is your podcast constructed? So what is the actual format of your show?
Yeah, it's an interview. I usually do one-person interviews. I've done two. They've worked out very well. Well, I may have two co-founders or two partners in a business in it. We just talk about them. I focus on, like I said, motivation, inspiration, and education. I want to know their background. I have at least one story, and usually it's a story of they've overcome something. Talk about any books they've written, if they're an author, a nonprofit they're part of, things they're passionate about. Because they overcame this struggle. And now they're like, hey, I'm focusing on this wounded warriors or cancer or whatever. Maybe it's their family or whatever. But again, to show the audience this hope, this motivation to do something like this.
So another format that I don't think a lot of people actually are doing is kind of the panel discussion format. Because it requires a bit more work and a lot more people than your typical show, the easiest way to imagine it is if you've ever been to a conference, you've probably seen one. but there's a moderator, some kind of host, who then moderates a discussion between a group of people with various opinions, ideally. It's a format that's honestly a little harder to do than an interview podcast or solo hosted ones, purely because you have to get a whole bunch of people together. And then as the host, your job isn't necessarily to have that much of an opinion, depending on how you want to do it. It's more about facilitating a discussion.
So are you saying anything more than two people would become a panel discussion?
If you are running it like a panel discussion.
Okay.
So you could have six people just having a conversation.
Yeah.
That's different.
That sounds like a party.
Yeah. Yeah. You can have four podcasters having a chat, which is not really a panel discussion in my mind. A panel discussion involves very carefully making sure that people have a chance to speak. This is the broad topic we're talking about. Okay, you, what's your opinion? You, what's your opinion? Can we get some questions from the rest of the group? It's a lot more structured than just a four-person co-hosted podcast. Yeah.
So what would the benefits be of having a panel discussion? How would that deepen the content, or how would that make it more interesting to listen to?
I think the thing with the panel discussion that makes it interesting is the idea of having many diverse voices on a topic. Instead of just two people discussing something, you could have like eight, because you're moderating it, so you can make sure that everybody has a chance to speak. Eight different people all voicing their opinion and having their own expertise kind of shine through. So it creates a really dynamic show because you have a lot of different voices, a lot of different opinions. You get to get the kinds of insights that you wouldn't necessarily normally have because people go so in-depth on the topics.
So you're saying a host for a panel discussion needs a special skill. And I think Kenny's got that kind of skill because he has a way of drawing personal stories out of his panel members that are experiences that they may not typically share. And he gets it because he makes them feel safe. And he creates a comfortable experience or a comfortable zone where they can then safely share these experiences. So, yeah, let's meet Kenny and let's listen a little bit about how he runs things.
I'm Kenny Archer, and we've got a podcast that we call Weekly Chat with Kenny. It's been going for over 3 years now. It started during the first week of lockdown, and it's developed and grown since then. What happened was, I got a couple of my clients together because none of us knew what to do during COVID. And we got together on a Friday morning. And it was a joke was I laugh about it now because we all said we'll climb on this thing called Zoom because none of us ever used it. And now it's what everybody's using. And it slowly developed and they started saying, oh, can I bring a friend? Can I bring a friend? And eventually we had 20 to 30 people coming every Friday morning. And it became a very strong support base for business owners not knowing what to do. So there was a lot of emotions and quite a bit of life coaching got involved in that as well. And then we started steering it back in the business direction. And then towards the end of lockdown, people started saying, well, we're going back to the office and we can't make the session. Can you perhaps record it for us? And to be start recording and sending to different people all the time, myself and my marketing lady, Michelle, we put our heads together and said, well, let's just turn it into a podcast.
So if somebody hasn't heard the podcast before, could you describe what it sounds like?
We work on a theme per month. So for example, let's say we were looking at themes around sales. So the whole month would be questions around sales. So a question would come up like, who's your ideal client that you find sales are so easy for? And then people will share those win-win situations where they've had good closures on sales and they've managed to close it well. And each person shares their own experience to it. And in that process, the others learn from them too. So they're not just getting one directional story. They're getting stories from various different people. And then they walk away with what resonates the most with them. And I think that's what the whole thing is. So everybody has the opportunity to answer that question. Once everybody's gone, I'll do a summary up of what the results are of everybody's input. And then from there, each person then has a turn to actually share their one thing that they're taking away from that session. And that's what's powerful. And if you go and listen to the intros of all the different podcasts, we take one person's takeaway And that becomes the intro for that episode of the podcast. And then the following week, we'll do a question that related to the previous week. However, if you listen to it on its own, it's strong enough on its own.
So Kenny is a coach that gets a huge amount of value and gives back to his coaching group by recording this podcast with them. But in terms of genres, again, business / entrepreneurship, as I said, one of the most popular genres, especially with the kinds of people we speak to.
Next up, we're going to get into a format that we don't really see that often, and this is investigative journalism. So this is a very specialized kind of podcast run by a very specialized kind of person, an investigative journalist. And this one is called Cape of Cocaine. Now, this seems to be such an interesting story. It's also a four-part podcast, and it investigates the Bulgarian mafia's presence in South Africa. That sounds truly intriguing.
I don't think this format is investigative journalism. I believe that the genre is investigative journalism. So the format of this is, in my mind, more around a documentary-style podcast because it's got narration, it's got other kinds of content in it together to put together this broader story, which I think then the genre of which would be investigative journalism, perhaps even true crime, depending on how you want to swing it. But this is also where things start to get blurry because the difference between a genre and a format with something so specialized like this, it might even be a bit of a moot point.
Hi, everybody. I am Paige Muller, and I am a podcast manager at The Founders Factory. I also do a lot of freelance podcasting work in and around South Africa and globally, just generally.
Can you talk a bit about some of the podcasts that either you're currently working on or that you have worked on?
Great. So I'll start off with one of my absolute favorite podcasts to have been involved in, and it was known as Cape of Cocaine. This podcast was a creative and investigative podcast done with the Times Live investigative team in South Africa and was based on the investigations of the Bulgarian mafia's cocaine rings off of South Africa's coasts. I've also worked on one called Justice for Kopano, which was by the small girl who was hit by a car, as well as several others, including Sunday Times Politics Weekly, Eusebius on Times Live, Today, where I'm working on projects such as Founded with the Founder Factory and a whole bunch of other corporate podcasts, which unfortunately I'm not supposed to be chatting about too much. But that's just a brief idea of what I can do from investigative all the way through to your general corporate podcasting.
Let's talk about Cape of Cocaine. What was your role in it? And, you know, let's kind of dive into the production process.
So the reason I love the Cape of Cocaine so much was because it actually took us far longer than it ever should have. It was just a four-piece series based on the work of an investigative, a very good investigative journalist, in my opinion, Aaron Hyman, based in Cape Town. And he had been following the Bulgarian mafia in South Africa for a very long time, for a couple of years. And every once in a while, he'd write these groundbreaking stories on it. And it wasn't getting traction. It wasn't getting eyes, mainly because people just don't read anymore. So he came to me as an investigative journalist. And at this moment, I was working in the newsroom as their podcast producer. So I was doing all of the talk shows, all of their corporate content, and all of that kind of thing. And he said, listen, I've been following this story, but I feel like more can be done with it. And from there, we had to take, and, you know, as it goes with print journalists, they have so much to say all of the time. And when you're working with a audio medium, what you really want to do is simplify the story so that you're not missing anything when you're listening to that spoken word the first time. So we took all of his research, and he had photos and sound clips and all of the rest of it. And we took all of that research and started to soften through it to find main characters and main story arcs that we could turn into a story. And from there, between Aaron and I, we began scripting. So Aaron wrote, I simplified down again. Aaron wrote and I simplified down again. We gave it through to editors and they simplified that even further and pulled out areas that they found of concern. From there, I recruited one of our fellow journalists to be our voiceover artist. I selected elements where we could do certain elements of sound design and get Aaron to explain some of his journalism to really bring the audience in. And what you landed up getting at the end of all of that was an interactive experience where those who listen to the story could actually feel it. They could live it. You close your eyes and you're in the middle of the police raid on a boat where, you know, the police are pulling cocaine out of the walls. You can feel it because we've got the sound effects from that. He also had little clips of videos, which we eventually started to incorporate into the article pages to give you more of an interactive multimedia feel. And it really just brought the incredible journalism that Aaron was already doing into a new medium and brought it a little bit more to life, to tell the story in a way that, because, you know, mafias, by their very nature, are very complex. The links are never ending. It narrowed it down to a character that could be followed, someone relatable to the ear, someone that everyone could kind of understand, okay, why are they here? What's going on? Not to say that we didn't encounter a couple of issues along the way of that project. We did. In fact, we had a lot of mafiosos calling us when they'd heard, when we started promoting the project, saying that, listen, we've heard episode one, am I going to be in episode two? And that's when investigative podcasts become a bit more interesting. When you start releasing and these characters realize they're being portrayed in this medium, that's when it becomes a bit more interesting.
I think one of the big things that you need to do when you produce something like this is you've got to do extensive research. It's not just getting a guest sitting down and having a discussion. This is real digging deep and finding the facts and the stories and really making it engaging in that way.
Yeah, this is one of those kinds of podcasts that requires a massive amount of production and not just technical production, although the technical requirements for these podcasts are immense. You've got so many moving parts, so many voices, music, all these different things that you have to put together. But the other production is like the content production for this is a huge amount of work. Because what you're doing is you create, it's new content. You're exposing something. You're a journalist. You are investigating. You're literally going out and being an investigator, compiling all this information together, and then putting something completely new out to the world or exposing something to the whole world. So there's also a whole bunch of stuff around ethics, around clearance, about getting permission for people to actually let you use the content. So yeah, this is something you would not do lightly. But to be honest, you are most likely already a journalist if you're considering doing something like this.
The other thing I find interesting is also when you say podcast, people think it's going to be weekly for the rest of your life until you die.
Mm.
You know, it becomes a full-time occupation. Before you know it, it's taken over your whole life. And this is just a four-part series. And like us, we're doing a six-part series here. We're doing little Netflix specials, if you want, you know, a little series, and it's done and it's dusted. And we take a break and we come back in a year's time and do another six episodes. So I think people also fall into that trap of like, I start a podcast every Friday, it's got to go out. And they don't think in terms of seasons or shorter kind of bursts of content.
One thing that I've never really understood is that if you look online, you can see a whole lot of DJ mixes, like hour-long mixes of music being described as a podcast. And there's like really big producers who put out a weekly quote-unquote podcast that is just a music mix. So I thought, you know, we really have to reach out to somebody who actually does this and find out, why do they call it a podcast? Is it even technically a podcast? But if you think about it, it's audio on demand, and that's ultimately what podcasting is.
It's such a broad term, isn't it? It's like movies on demand. Audio on demand is basically a podcast. As long as it comes through an RSS feed, that's a podcast. So, and I think this is what we were saying earlier. People want to put podcasting into interview style. That's what I'm doing, is an interview, especially in South Africa. I'm not sure around the rest of the world. What was the inspiration for this music podcast? Is it just to share music, or is it from a personal thing? Is he trying to promote certain artists?
Yeah, he's building a brand. That's a big thing. He's a DJ. He knows other DJs. He's putting together a bit of a community around his music. He's got a website and everything. And yeah, we can delve into Lulama's podcast.
My name is Lulama. I go by the alias LJ, of which I host a podcast called The Deep Diggers Installments, which is a house music type of podcast, which is catered in 3 hours. I'm on the first hour. The second hour is a resident mix by DJ Carlin all the way from New York City. The third hour is by any guest mix from any corner of house music. I decided to call it a podcast only because I do not have access to airplay, and also because I found it more easier, because podcasts can be pre-recorded. So I found that it would be more easier for me to get it out there at a planned approach and also at a scheduled approach.
So that's really interesting. And it's, again, not a format that you see very often, and a genre, perhaps, music. Because I think when we spoke previously about, I want to play some music on my podcast, you've got to get licensing rights for that. You can't just play anything.
That's the other big thing. There are some platforms where a lot of these, like, music mixes do go, where they have built-in licensing for it and you can submit the lists of songs. But yeah, don't think that just because this guy has a DJ mixes a podcast that you can put an Ed Sheeran song in your show. It's just not going to work that way.
Now, Ethan, news and actuality and current affairs, is there space for that kind of genre in podcasting? Or, you know, we keep on saying your content has to be evergreen and in 5 years' time, people must still be able to understand it when they listen to it. But when you do current affairs, it's obviously news of the day. And, you know, in a week's time, that's all old news. So where does that fit into our greater scheme of things?
It all comes down to the goal of the show. If you are, like us, putting together a podcast that you want to be evergreen, we need this to be evergreen because we would like prospective mentorship clients and prospective production clients to be able to listen to this and get a good understanding of podcasting, right? So we want the content to be reasonably evergreen. But that's not the true for every show, by no means. Remember, podcasting is just radio on demand. Genuinely, that's what it is. And radio is a medium that is literally dictated by the minute. Things are old news in an hour. So there's definitely a space for it. And I think there's a lot of companies and news outlets, a lot of newspapers and a lot of those kinds of companies who started creating these podcasts as a way to disseminate their news content in another format that people can listen to in the car or, you know, on the way to work. So yeah, there's definitely a space for it. Not all podcasts have to be evergreen. It really just depends on what you want to do with it.
And I think Apiwe also has a really interesting approach to the format.
Hi, I am Apiwe Mame. I am the producer and host for Digify Africa Unplugged Conversations. The platform is really about looking at the issues that are in the digital economy on the continent, also not only the issues, but also the opportunities that are there for young people and different communities. We talk about issues that look at, you know, access. We talk about infrastructure on the continent and also just the emerging opportunities that young people can find in terms of your AIs, in terms of new technologies that are coming up in the digital economy space.
In terms of the actual production of your podcast, what is your genre and then how does the production process for it work?
It's long form. We tend to borrow a lot from a more current affairs-y style. We try obviously to make it as casual as possible. I've always loved hard talk. I've always been a current affairs person. But because my personality is not entirely current affairs, I'm able to bring in a little bit of that color to it that would not necessarily live on traditional, right? And so I think that long form becomes a little bit more playful, you know, a little bit of jokes here and there just to make it more relatable and to make it a little bit more casual. But yeah, so it's long form. After we record, obviously there's the editing process and taking out some parts of the conversation. We have an intro. Sometimes I incorporate some sound bites in there. So I'll have, let's say, for instance, there was one episode where actually it was a compilation of sound bites. I just turned it into almost like a radio documentary format where there would be narratives in between the sound bites. And so we try to use different styles to make the content more engaging. Our post-production process is different for each and every, depending on what kind of feel we want or we're trying to achieve for that specific episode. But for the most part, it's quite straightforward. It's the, obviously, sticking. We try by all means to stick to the 30-minute, 20-minute conversation time frame. And in between that, if I feel the need to bring in a little bit of sound bites and packages in there, I'll hoy them in there.
Now we're going to talk about a format that really is close to my heart and something that I'm very passionate about. So I come from the theater. I was trained as an actor and I worked in community arts for many, many years. I've been on movies and television shows and radio dramas and all those sort of things. And audio drama is, for me, one of the more interesting genres of podcasting. Have I got that right? No, it is a genre.
Now it's a format.
It's a format.
Format.
So what genre would it be?
Depends.
It would be fiction, because usually it's fiction or it's nonfiction or it's narrative.
Or it's comedy.
Or comedy or tragedy or true life, you know, based on real events. But I think it boils down to, and this is true for any podcast, is you need to tell a story. When you do audio drama, obviously it's a very specific story. It's like a radio play or like a movie. I like to think of audio dramas in the podcast field as mind movies, because it's theater of the mind. You just hear the sounds, which are the actors performing, or the sound effects or the music, and you have to build all those pictures in your own mind. And Vijay is particularly passionate about that, as am I. So he talks about the power of storytelling.
I think there are way too many podcasts out there doing the basic minimum. They're just talking, they're having a conversation, which is fine. But then that's like every other podcast, like every other person, whether it's a business category, whether it's an art category, et cetera, it doesn't matter. Unless you're very famous and have major marketing budget behind you, like the kind of money Barbie spent on their movies, like if you've got that kind of budget, you can do standard podcasts and then rely on the numbers to get you through. But podcasts can be really powerful because one of the things I love is in the 1930s, have you heard of mystery theater, right? People didn't have television. Television wasn't really mainstream then. So if you wanted to have a story, you had to listen on radio and there would be actors and there would be live musicians and sound effect artists putting things together, doing a story. And one of the stories was things like, welcome to Nightmare Inn. Here comes Mrs. Elms. You are late, Mrs. Elms. Your booking was only 3 hours ago. What are you doing so late? My husband. I found him outside. He was killed. I had to go to the police. Oh my God, are you okay? That's the kind of stuff that you can do with multiple actors, sound effects, and music. And I created some with my favorite genre, which is science fiction, detective noir mix of stories, where I played an Indian detective in the year 2052, or between that and 2100. And he is a cybernetic Indian detective trying to solve an ungodly murder of a robot killing another human. And I have to find out, what were the motives? Were they alive? Were they conscious? Did they make the choice to kill another human? And I would talk about that while he's investigating and uncovering conspiracies of why it happened. That's the power of podcasting. You can do stories like this and you can really expand it instead of simply talking into a camera or just having a conversation, which is fine, but then that's 99% of podcasts. But if you bring in actors, sound effects, people, themes, and music, of course, it doesn't have to be live. You can pre-record it. You can actually create something that people can enjoy, because for me, part of serendipity is a joyous experience. Is it a joyful experience to listen to this? And if it's joyful, and if it's humorous, in my opinion, that is the highest form of retention for people to actually absorb what you're saying. To get people's attention, to get them to actually absorb what you're saying, is having those two elements in place. So I use that to get people to understand what I'm saying. And that's why storytelling podcasting is powerful. There is a place for it. I think there are so many voice actors out there who can play roles, and it could be a lot of fun. And I'm doing it right now, and it's had great feedback.
And of course, here at Baird Media, we are, as we are recording this, busy producing South Africa's very first full-length, feature-length audio drama. It's a 90-minute audio drama based on real events that happened in 1971. The play is called Stripped, and it deals with the story of a friend of mine, or friend of ours really, Thomas Budge, who in 1971 as a Jehovah's Witness was a conscientious objector who refused to be conscripted in the apartheid military, and they put him in jail. So our story involves 17 actors, sound design, which Ethan is doing, loads of sound effects, music. It's going to be quite spectacular. So keep your ear out for that. Go to our website, baird.media, and you'll find it there. There's also storytelling in business. And again, Vijay is at the forefront of that. His advice for business podcasters is to move away from conventional corporate presentations and rather get into the storytelling. And Ethan, we're also changing our little company logo. We used to call ourselves the Podcast People, but we're moving away from that. And the new, what do we call it? Slogan. Buzzwords. What do you call that?
Slogan, right?
Slogan. Okay, slogan. Skip the ads, tell the story. So let's skip the ads for my book, Become a Podmaster, and get straight into the story from Vijay.
So how can a business podcaster, somebody who runs a business and is doing a podcast, to get content and to get sort of authority and to stand out from the crowd, how does that sort of person use what we're talking about, this kind of storytelling theater kind of podcasting, to perhaps illustrate points of, or, you know, show aspects of their business, or, I don't know, integrate storytelling into their podcast structure so that it's not just another boring presentation of here's my business, but it's engaging.
That is so essential. The problem is a lot of companies who are using podcasting or social media as a marketing tool are just taking their presentations, their corporate language, and just putting it online. We don't want to see your corporate boring ass presentation. Your presentations are there. Even your employees and your investors and your stakeholders find it boring. And they are part of your business. So imagine an external customer. It's even worse. If you're going to tell a story, it doesn't have to be fiction, of course. Fictitious stories are beautiful. But if you're running an ad is a fiction because you have a hypothetical actor doing a hypothetical action, showing them they have a hypothetical problem, and your product solves that problem. So instead of saying we are the features and we are number one, no, show it through an action of what your product does through audio. That says, you know what, these guys can solve my problem too. No, let me connect with that character. Use a real character that would have a problem that you're trying to solve. So storytelling, again, is very important here. What can they do? Number one, no presentations, no boring bullet points. Don't just read out your list of features and functions and why you are number one at what you do. Play the character. Tell us why it's great through action. For example, what's a good one? I think Nike had some good ads, even though it was visual, but I can picture it as an audio form, where they weren't just showing you that they were using the latest and greatest sole technology, where the rubber gives you the smoothest running speed or whatever. No, they didn't do any of that. They didn't say it is structured such a way that you can run 50,000 miles. They weren't even saying that. All they said was, we gave these shoes to that guy and he won that marathon. You know, they showed the picture of a Kenyan super strength runner who used to run barefoot, but for some reason, the shoes were so good, he wore it and he broke the record. In fact, it was so good, it was illegal. They had to disqualify him because the shoes were that good. That is a story that gets people to say, I want those shoes. I don't care if it's illegal, I want those shoes. That's the whole point. And you can do it in that way. And that's why it's great.
Right. That brings us to the end of this. Let's do a quick wrap up, Ethan. Interviews, very popular.
Yeah.
But are they overcrowded? Are there too many of them?
Yeah, probably. Or at the very least, if you want to do an interview podcast, really take some time to think about what's going to make your interview podcast stand out. There's ways to do it. No one's saying don't make an interview podcast, but don't just interview people and ask them about their lives. We've done that now.
Yeah. And of course, you've got to play to your strengths. You know, what are you really good at? If you are really good at facilitating a group discussion, then panel discussions might be the thing for you. Or if you're really good at telling a ripping yarn, you might want to do an audio drama.
Ultimately, I think the point here is that there's a lot more to podcasting than a lot of people think. It's not just, I'm going to record into a microphone by myself, or I'm going to do an interview, or I'm going to talk nonsense with my friend. Those are all completely valid. It's just a medium. And it's ultimately a canvas for your art. So what is it that you want to do? What excites you the most? Do that.
And explore. Try different things. Test things and see what works. And then ultimately, it's about having fun. If you're sitting here and it's boring as hell, then you're not doing it the right way. Find another way of doing it. That brings us to the end of this episode about formats and genres. If you want to find out more, please go to our website, baird.media, or you can get the book, Become a Podmaster, Everything You Need to Know to Master the Art of Podcasting, available on our website, takealot.com, on amazon.com, on Barnes & Noble, you name it. If there's an online bookshop, it's there.